Okay, parents, we are looking for your calls at 1-800-423-8255. That's 1-800-423-TALK. We are now just 2 weeks away from September, which means the new school year is upon us. But the relief of a return to normal schooling that was once kind of a dream is not going to be a reality. In most districts, parents now have to choose whether to send their children into the building at all or do school all online. And then families have to figure out how to manage a one-room schoolhouse for their kids while juggling work, elder care, their own education, or a whole host of other demands. I know I'm worried, and I have a high schooler. So we're going to take the rest of the show today to talk about what on earth we're going to do with our kids this fall, and we want you to join the conversation. What have you decided to do about the new school year? Are you opting for the hybrid model? Are you going full remote? How hard was that decision? And now, what are you going to do to make it all work? What are you juggling? Again, that number is 1-800-423-8255. That's 1-800-423-TALK. We've got two great guests to join us for this conversation. WBUR Edify senior editor and parent Kathleen McNerney is with us. Kathleen, welcome back.
Anna.
And we also have Tracy O'Connell Novick, a Worcester School Committee member and mother of two current Worcester Public School students. Tracy, welcome to you too.
Thank you.
So, Kathleen, I'm going to start with you. We talked, you and I did, on the show at the end of last week about school reopening plans, and we know districts had to submit their plans and their preferences to the state by the end of the day last Friday. And a day later, Boston Public Schools, obviously the big district in the state, did that. Anything new that we need to know about there?
Yeah, there is something new. Boston's new plan is essentially about parent choice. So there's three options. They will not be going fully in person, but parents could choose between fully remote and then two different hybrid options, a hybrid of 2 days in school, 2 days remote, and the third option being students with significant learning needs. That would be English language learners, students with disabilities, or others identified by the district. Those students could return in person 3 to 4 days a week if they choose and if there's room. So there's still a lot that's not known with this plan. And the district is reaching out to parents starting today to find out what parents want. Several city councilors are upset and have said that the plan has actually delayed a decision when at a point where we're only 5 weeks from the school year starting. Teachers are going to be reporting very soon to start training and prepping for the school year. And they still don't know how many students will be in what classrooms for how long.
All right, so the calls are starting to pour in, but before we go to them, Tracy, I want to turn to you. So much of this seems to come down to parents. You're a parent with kids in the Worcester Public Schools. So tell us, what option is Worcester offering, and what did you decide to do for your kids?
So Worcester is actually staying fully remote for the first semester. So honestly, nobody has a choice yet, although we did ask parents, and if you're a Worcester parent, that's due today, to let us know by today if once there is a hybrid option, they want to avail themselves of it. So Worcester's hybrid option, once we get there, will be 1 day a week, except much like Boston, for the highest need students. The highest need students will have the option of coming back for 4 days a week. But part of what we're doing is our plan is to phase that in. So we would be starting with those highest need students going back to the building and then eventually cycling into getting everyone in. My own kids, my two Worcester Public School students, one is a freshman and one is a senior. So there was really no way I was going to be able to keep them out of buildings this year. This was not anybody's idea of how high school should either begin or end. But they were absolutely adamant that we were doing hybrid. And we've usually tried to make sure they're a large part of their own educational decisions. So that's what I submitted for them yesterday.
All right, let's go to the phones, 1-800-423-8255. That's 1-800-423-TALK to join the conversation about what you are choosing for your kids this fall and how you're going to manage the logistics of that and the life of that when it happens. We've got Mike on the line from Roxbury. Mike, go ahead.
Hey, I think we should open up all the schools. You know, I'm tired of my kids bumming around the house, taking up my space. I think they should just go back.
Are your kids going to go back, Mike? Are you choosing for your kids to be in school?
Oh, no, no, I'm choosing all online, but I'm just saying, you know, I'm getting tired of them just bumming around the house. You know, they don't clean up. They don't pick up their socks, their undies, just hanging out.
Mike, I feel like you might be playing with me a little bit here. Thanks for the call. Let's go to Susan as well in Norwell. Susan.
Hi there.
Hi, go ahead, Susan.
We've decided to create a pod of some local families who will be joining together, rotating in people's homes, and we hired a teacher to facilitate the online learning program and to augment it, to add to it, to make sure they have a robust, engaging learning environment.
Susan, did you have any trouble finding a teacher to hire for your pod?
Absolutely. Well, I started looking a few weeks ago and was able to find a fantastic teacher and lock her down and to get exclusivity because I knew they were going to be really highly sought after. So we got a little bit ahead of the curve and we got lucky.
All right. Thanks for that call, Susan. Kathleen McNerney, I'm going to turn back to you there. So one family solving the problem with a private pod, which we've been hearing about, we've been reading about that in reports, et cetera. And then whether Mike was being tongue-in-cheek or not, he was expressing something that I think we hear from parents, right? Which is, my kids are in the house all day. Are what we just heard from those first two callers consistent with what you've been hearing from parents in your reporting?
They are. You know, I spent quite a bit of time talking to a lot of parents. There have been rallies at the State House in Lexington and Winchester and other communities of parents who want their kids to be able to go fully in person, full time. I think a lot of that comes from a couple of different places. One is, I have not heard a single family or teacher that had a positive experience of pandemic crisis learning in the spring. I think that, you know, that scramble to have to go remote because of the public health crisis was really, really hard and did not serve a lot of families well. The other thing that I've been hearing is for families of students with disabilities or special needs, that those services that their kids rely on and get in school are really hard to deliver remotely. And so some have talked about regressions that their kids have faced. Some parents have seen their kids get depressed. I did talk to one student who's a rising senior at Boston Latin who actually liked having remote because he felt like the pressure was off a little bit. So I think it really varies. And then there are families who just feel like the public health risk is too great in their community. And, you know, I think the other pressure that they're facing is that the state is really encouraging all districts, particularly if the transmission rate is low, to go all in person. And I think that is putting a pressure on districts and families to try to get back to school. It's hard for everyone to be remote right now.
So let's turn to Tracy O'Connell-Novick now on two parts of that. Tracy, first, you're on the Worcester School Committee. That is an economically diverse community. This question of pods is one we keep hearing about in terms of economic justice as well, those who can afford it versus those who can't and those who fall behind potentially if they can't. Actually, let's just start there. What's your reaction to that?
Right. And no, I think that, I mean, that my first reaction is that was a phone call from Norwell. And, you know, the places where Kathleen just listed off that were protesting were Lexington and Winchester, or Winchester. Those are not communities that look a lot like Worcester. And when I hear parents in Worcester say, I want my kids to go back to school, it usually isn't really that they want their kids to go back to school. It's what am I going to do because I have to go out to work and I have a first grader at home. There definitely has been, I mean, we've heard in many ways that the pandemic has been putting a real magnifying glass on the kinds of stratification we have, both economically and racially in our society. And this is really just another example of that. I only heard one slight floating of a pod in Worcester, and it was from the most heavily resourced side of the city. But that really has been it, because it's really just absolutely not something that's open to our families at all. And then if you add to that the fact that we have a significant number of families who are Latino and who are Black, which have significantly higher rates of COVID, it becomes even more of a concern. So that's definitely not really a Worcester thing.
Let's go back to the phones here. Oh, Kathleen, go ahead. Then I'll jump in.
Sorry, I just wanted to sort of add, you know, what we know from polling, both through WBUR's own poll last week, is that there is a preference among parents, of people of color for remote learning. And the parents that I talked to, one in Revere, one in Malden, they knew people close to them who had been hit by coronavirus and had a really hard time recovering. So I think we can't ignore the racial differences and preferences too.
Absolutely.
That's important data. Thanks, Kathleen. I'm going to go to Kara in Holbrook. Kara's on the line. What's on your mind, Kara?
Hi, I just want to say the remote learning has actually been a really positive experience for my family. We have a son with a compromised immune system, so we've opted to have him do the first semester remote. And the teachers and the faculty and staff have been really great with communication with the parents and the students and surveying us and find out what, you know, our needs are. And, you know, being more involved in his curriculum, it's helped open up a lot of thought-provoking discussions between my son and I. It's like him just learning to memorize and regurgitate the material. It's actually helped him to really take it in and put some thought into it.
Thanks for that, Kara. And I'm going to turn back to both, first you, Tracy, and also you, Kathleen, as moms. We know I'm a mom as well. What are the opportunities here to engage your kids, depending on their age, in decision-making about how they participate in their education? And are there good things about that, that this unusual circumstance creates? Tracy?
Well, I mean, I think that what was just said is also something that we've been seeing coming out, which, I mean, twofold. First of all, that the disability community in particular has said, wait, there's a bunch of this that we could have been doing right along. How come we haven't? And now we're finally embracing it. But also there have been students that have actually had really positive experiences. I mean, my joke was that I had last spring, I had a middle schooler and a high schooler. And I was, for one thing, not having to get them out of bed at 5:30 in the morning, which was a great benefit to the general sort of attitude in the household. Which was nice. But I think that, you know, there also are ways in which I know there were students who found that the ability to do more of structuring their own schedules, of having a little bit more freedom in terms of choosing where they were, and also just really basic things. You know, we've been kind of boiling it down to brass tacks in terms of what's most important about school, like how strict does your dress code really need to be? You know, does it really matter that much? What parts of education actually are what's most important? And so I think that we maybe have seen some freeing up, or at least I hope we will. I just was seeing tweets saying maybe we're not, but I hope that we're seeing some freeing up on some of those kinds of things as well. So the controls, maybe we've kind of put maybe more of those in the hands of some of the students.
And in our last minute or so, let me turn to you, Kathleen McNerney, both about the difference in engaging your kids or taking advantage of some of this moment of flexibility and choice with younger kids, and also what else we need to remember might get left off the table as a result. Last minute or so.
Oh, I think there's a tremendous opportunity, and there's a lot of teachers who are putting student voice and student perspective at the center.
Kathleen, do I still have you? Sounds
yeah.
like you lost your sound for a minute. Okay.
Right.
And how are you thinking about it as a mom? You have much younger kids. How are you experiencing everything right now?
Well, so I have a 2- and a 4-year-old. They just went back to daycare 2 weeks ago. And there's been pluses and minuses of having them here. I think there's the good things I want to hold on, like our time together. It was a really hard choice to send them back to daycare, but you know, best for us and our family, for them to have someplace safe to be. So, you know, I think I understand families wanting to make the decision that's right for them. And it's really hard in a pandemic to try to enable that.
That's Kathleen McNerney, senior editor of WBUR's Edify, and Tracy Novick, a Worcester School Committee member and mother to 2 current Worcester Public School students. Thanks to both of you for joining me today.
Thank you.
And that's our show for today. Radio Boston is produced by Jamie Bologna, Zoe Mitchell, Chris Siderick, Paris Alston, and Walter Wuthman. Tim Skog is our technical director with engineering today by Glenn Alexander. I'm Tiziana Deering. Join us again tomorrow for more Radio Boston.